Hello, this is Amy, and for the next hour, I will be reading from the Sunday, October 19th issue of the Democrat and Chronicle on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The cover story is all about voting. Your complete guide to the 2025 elections. Early voting, Chris McKenna, New York State team. New York voters soon head to the polls and mailboxes to cast early ballots for mostly county and municipal races at stake in this off-year election. 9 days of early voting begin October 25th and end November 2nd, 2 days before the November 4th general election. With no Congress seats or state offices up for grabs this year, the races to be decided are largely for spots on county legislatures, town boards, and city councils, along with some judgeships, a district attorney contest, and a few mayoral races in western New York. In Rochester, Mayor Malik Evans is seeking a second term after winning a three-way Democratic primary in June. He's being challenged by Conservative Party candidate Louis Sabo, who owns a photo design shop. Elsewhere in the surrounding region, another mayor's race is taking place in Canandaigua, a city of 10,000 in Ontario County. Bob Palumbo, the Republican, who has led the city for 6 years, is being challenged by Thomas Lyon, a Democratic councilman. Voters may cast early ballots in person at designated sites or by mail by applying for one on the New York State Board of Elections website at ballotapplications.newyork.gov/home/early-mail. They can check their registration status at voterlookup.elections.newyork.gov. New voters must register by October 25th. They can do so in person at their county board of elections or online at elections.newyork.gov/voter-registration-process. In-person voting hours vary by county. Here are the websites for election boards in 6 counties in western New York to find early voting times and locations and candidate listings. Monroe County. Madison Scott, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Election Day is on November 4th. Coming up soon, here is everything Monroe County voters need to know ahead of the general election, including new voting machines, registration deadlines, polling sites, absentee voting, and early voting options. The Monroe County Board of Elections has new voting machines from Election Systems and Software for 2025. These new machines have been used successfully during this year's primary election and school board elections. According to the county, these machines are designed to enhance accessibility, security, and voter efficiency. To learn more about these new machines, including how to vote videos, visit www.monroecounty.gov/elections-voting-machines. Voting registration deadlines. Monroe County residents have until October 25th to register to vote in the November 4th general election. Here are the 3 ways you can register to vote. Online through the New York State Online Registration Portal. You will need a New York State driver's license, permit, or non-driver ID card, your zip code that is on record with the DMV, and your Social Security number. To register to vote online, visit elections.newyork.gov/voter-registration-process. Fill out and turn in paper registration forms, either in person or by mail, to the Monroe County Board of Elections, located at 435 Smith Street in Rochester, Monroe County. Paper registration forms can be found at most government offices, libraries, post offices, or they can be printed from the Monroe County Board of Elections website. You can also request voting registration forms by calling 585-753-1550 or by emailing mcboe@monroecounty.gov with your mailing address. How to find your poll site in Monroe County. The Monroe County Board of Elections has a tool on its website that lets you look up your polling site. You will have to enter your address, your name, your zip code, and your date of birth. The site will then tell you if you are registered to vote and where your polling site will be in the November 4th general election. Voters must go to their designated polling site to cast an in-person ballot on November 4th. However, during early voting, you can cast your vote at any of the designated early voting sites in Monroe County. When do polls open on Election Day? Polls will be open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. on November 4th. What do you need to vote in Monroe County? You do not need identification or a card from the Board of Elections in order to vote. However, it is suggested to bring your driver's license with you in case election inspectors need to verify your identification if your signature is not on file or to verify a name change. How can I vote early in Monroe County? In-person early voting in Monroe County will be available from October 25th through November 2nd. The 2025 Monroe County early voting sites include the County Office Building, 39 West Main Street, Rochester, Staybridge Suites, Rochester University Hotel, 1000 Genesee Street, Rochester, the Grease Town Hall, 1 Vince Tofani Boulevard, Rochester, the Brighton Farmers Market, 1435 West Fall Road, Rochester, the David Gant Rec Center, 700 North Street, Edgerton Rec Center, 41 Backus Street, Rochester, Arondacoit Community Center, 450 Skyview Center Parkway, Suite 200, Rochester, Parenton Square Mall, 6720 Pittsford Palmyra Road, Fairport, Henrietta Library, 625 Calkins Road, Gates Public Library, 902 Elm Grove Road, Pittsford Town Court, 3750 Monroe Ave, Suite 950, the Webster Justice Court Building, 1002 Ridge Road, Sweden Clarkson Community Center, 4927 Lake Road South, Brockport. Can I vote by mail or by absentee ballot? The deadline to apply online for an early mail or absentee ballot is October 25th. Registered voters can also request an absentee ballot in person at the Monroe County Board of Elections by the end of the business day on November 3rd. Applications for mail-in early voting and absentee ballots can be found on the Monroe County Board of Elections website. Can you drop off absentee ballots at a New York polling place? Yes, you can bring your completed and sealed absentee ballot to an early poll site in Monroe County between October 25th and November 2nd, or to any poll site in the county by 9 p.m. on Election Day, November 4th. Completed absentee ballots may also be dropped off at the Monroe County Board of Elections office by 9 p.m. on November 4th. When are absentee ballots due in New York? Absentee ballots are due on November 4th. Mailed ballots must receive a postmark that is no later than November 4th, and the ballot must be received by November 12th. For more information on voting in the 2025 New York general election, visit elections.newyork.gov. Meet the candidates. Monroe County local judge races in your town. Kayla Kane, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Monroe County could see a handful of new local judges come Election Day. In New York, judges in town and village courts preside over traffic hearings, small claims, eviction filings, and other civil and criminal matters. There is no race in Chi-Lai, Clarkson, Greece, Irondequoit, Mendon, Penfield, or Wheatland this year. Candidates in those towns are running uncontested. Courts in Gates, Ogden, Parenton, Pittsford, Sweden, and Webster have multiple candidates vying for a limited number of judicial seats. There is also a race for a single Monroe County Family Court judgeship this fall. We sent quick questionnaires through the Democrat and GOP committee to all candidates in the contested races. Those with expanded information and photos below responded to the questionnaire, and those with only names listed did not respond. Responses have been lightly edited for grammar and space. Tanya Ettinger, Democrat, age 47, Brockport. Currently serving as the Monroe County Family Court Judge, appointed in June 2025. Issues of importance. A top issue driving my candidacy is ensuring that Monroe County families have a judge with a proven family court experience, integrity, and compassion needed to make decisions that profoundly affect children's lives. Our families deserve a judge who knows the court inside and out and understands the real impact these cases have on people every day. Mallory Rulison, Republican, age 40, Pittsford. Issues of importance. I have dedicated the majority of my career to public service. I care deeply about this community and seek to continue my commitment to making it a meaningful and positive difference in the lives of children and families throughout Monroe County. Gatestown Justice 2, Frank Casera, Republican, no reply received, and Sarah Kresmian, Democrat, 40. Gates, issues of importance. I believe the judiciary needs judges who combine deep knowledge of the law with the energy and adaptability to keep cases moving, ensuring that justice is not only fair, but also timely. A courtroom should be a place where people feel their voices are heard without unnecessary delay, and where decisions are made with both rigor and efficiency. I bring a commitment to improving case management and ensuring that our courts serve the people with integrity, effectiveness, and respect. Justice delayed is justice denied, and I am running to ensure our courts meet the highest standards of both fairness and timeliness. Peter Pupitelli, Republican, no reply received. Autumn Young, Democrat, age 31, Gates. I am driven by the desire to serve my community by increasing judicial efficiency. Being involved in any kind of litigation has a significant impact on every aspect of a party's life, and my goal is to make that process as quick and painless as possible. Ogdentown Justice 1, Andrew Kleehammer, Democrat. The top issue driving my candidacy is experience. I believe Ogden deserves a judge who knows, understands, and appreciates the law. I believe that in order to be an effective judge, you must have experience as a litigator in a courtroom. I will utilize my experience to ensure each citizen who appears in front of me is treated fairly and respectfully. Christopher Mears, Republican, 58. Ogden and Spencerport. I believe everyone who comes into contact with the criminal justice system must be treated in a fair and impartial manner. Rights of the accused must be protected while maintaining a sense of public safety. Town courts are those closest to the people, and I would be honored to continue to serve the public in this role. Parenton, Matthew Lenhard, Republican. Parenton, age 53. The top issue in this campaign is public safety because keeping Parenton safe is essential to preserving the quality of life that makes this community such a special place to live and raise a family. I am honored to be the only candidate endorsed by the Rochester Police Locust Club and the Finger Lakes Police Federation, whose members work every day to protect our community. Charles Steinman, Democrat, age 75, Parenton. As a judicial candidate, I cannot speak on any issues other than my qualifications. Pittsford Town Justice, John Bernacki Jr., Republican, age 59, Pittsford. A top issue driving my candidacy, in addition to continuing the competent administration of justice, is to help restore public confidence in our courts and in the criminal justice system in Pittsford. Bernacki details a case where a judge let a defendant go with an appearance ticket instead of holding them, and a victim was killed. Upholding defendants' rights does not and should not result in ignoring the rights of victims and protecting the public. Being a town justice means freeing yourself from any ideological moorings and fulfilling your duty to the proper administration of justice and to the public. Rich Murajda, Democrat, 41, Pittsford. Our judges matter now more than ever. Our judiciary must be independent, bipartisan, and make every decision based on the facts and the law, and never on fear or favor. I would like to innovate Pittsford Town Court to make it easier for all people to get justice. In my current role, I've simplified court forms to help people who want to handle legal matters themselves. I've also helped implement virtual proceedings so people don't have to take off work or find childcare when a case is appropriate for it. I believe in a court system that works for the people, and I've worked throughout my career to break down barriers to justice. Sweden Town Justice, Joanne Sharp, Democrat, 58, Sweden. Judicial neutrality, we have laws. They should be enforced equally and fairly. Paul Vadas, Republican, age 59, Sweden. I am a longtime resident of Monroe County, and I'm committed to serving the Sweden community. I believe the court should be fair and impartial, and it is imperative to understand another person's viewpoint while maintaining the integrity of our laws and respecting the dignity of all those we encounter. Every case should be handled diligently to ensure fair and just outcomes. Webster Town Justice, Brittany Bonanno, Democrat, age 39. The primary focus driving my candidacy has always been Webster Community First. Politics can be deeply polarizing, and when our spaces become so divided, our shared humanity is often lost. I am committed to ensuring fair, accessible, and community-centered justice in Webster. I have seen firsthand how the courts impact individuals, families, and neighborhoods, and I believe every person deserves equal treatment under the law, regardless of background or circumstance. Rather than engaging in partisan debates, my campaign is centered on strengthening public trust in the justice system through transparency, ethical decision-making, and genuine responsiveness to the community I serve. Thomas DeSalvo, Republican, age 72, Webster. The top issue that defines my candidacy is to preside over cases with fairness and impartiality. The justice courts are the courts closest to the people, which means that for most people, the justice court is their first and only experience with the justice system and the courts. So it is imperative that the litigants in my court feel that they have been treated with respect and that their case was decided in accordance with the law. Uncontested races, Chilai Town Justice, Clark Town Justice, Greece Town Justice, Irondequoit Town Justice, Mendon Town Justice, Penfield Town Justice, and Wheatland. Irondequoit Supervisor Race, Caria Weaver, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. As election season approaches, three candidates are vying for the position of supervisor for Irondequoit. The candidates are John Perdicone and Anthony Costanza, with controversial incumbent Andre Evans seeking write-in votes. Voters can cast their vote on Election Day, which is set for Tuesday, November 4th, or can vote during the early voting period, which is from October 25th to November 2nd. John Perdicone, Democrat. Perdicone is a lifelong Irondequoit resident and has served as an Irondequoit Town Board member for 17 years. His priorities include having open communication with residents, fiscal responsibility, and initiatives that enhance the quality of life for all. While serving as a town board member, he has helped with several projects, such as the 590 extension to Seabreeze and repurposing the former Irondequoit Mall. He's also helped with the planning and construction of a new library, which he said was a personal priority for him. Anthony Costanza, Republican. Costanza is a lifelong resident of Irondequoit and is an active duty Air Force veteran. He has worked as a cost analysis, gaining knowledge in federal land and infrastructure purchasing, assessment, and taxation. After retiring from the Air Force, Costanza worked for Northrop Grumman for 2 years. He is the former town assessor. The candidate has been accused of committing official misconduct and violating the Irondequoit Town Code. Costanza has pleaded not guilty. When it comes to Irondequoit residents, his priorities include promoting transparency, ensuring future assessments are fair and lawful, and reducing crime. Andre Evans, Democratic. Evans has been an Irondequoit resident for more than 32 years and served in the U.S. Army for 35 years. He has served on many committees and boards throughout the community. He is asking voters to write in his name on November's ballot in a bid to keep his seat as supervisor because he missed a deadline to be on the ballot. Evans has faced allegations of harassment from town employees who said in an investigation by a law firm that he made inappropriate comments. He is also accused of retaliation against complainants. According to Evans, he is running for office because the people of Irondequoit asked him to continue to fight for them. Some of his priorities include building safer neighborhoods, developing a fairer tax structure, and promoting public safety and infrastructure. Rochester City Council. Steve Howe and Caria Weaver, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. While local elections often have light slates of candidates and uncontested races, the Rochester City Council isn't one of them. There are 9 candidates, including 3 incumbents, competing for 5 at-large seats on the council. Whatever happens on November 4th, there will be fresh faces on the council, with incumbents Willie Lightfoot and Kim Smith not seeking re-election. And the new council will have opportunities to shape the city's future as issues bubble, like the sanctuary city tension with the Trump administration, the next version of downtown Rochester, and the end of some COVID-era funding programs resulting in hard budget choices. The June Democratic primary validated the incumbents, with Miguel A. Melendez Jr., Stanley Martin, and Mitch Gruber making the cut. Joining them were LaShunda C., Leslie Smith, and Kiara Kiki Smith, securing an important nomination in a race that followed party lines in 2021. The candidates for city council are Kelly Cheadle, Gruber, Leslie Smith, Martin Melendez, Victor H. Sanchez, Smith, David Sutliff, Addius, and Marcus C. Williams. Kelly Cheadle, Working Families. A community organizer and artist, Cheadle is a fixture on picket lines and public meetings. She opposed the Business Improvement District, which was halted in 2024 due to a lack of majority support from the Rochester City Council. Cheadle was named Activist of the Year by Metro Justice in 2024. Along with husband Larry Moss, Cheadle operates Aragami, a sculpture studio at High Falls. In the 15-candidate Democratic primary for the City Council this June, Cheadle received 4,089 votes and finished outside of the top five spots for the party nomination. She is one of four candidates running on the Working Families line. Mitch Gruber, Democrat. First elected in 2018, Gruber is one of three incumbents seeking re-election to the council this November. He also serves as the chief impact officer at Foodlink, where he's worked for the past 16 years. Legislative priorities for Gruber, if re-elected, include working toward a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with the University of Rochester, promote pedestrian safety through Rochester's Vision Zero plan, and complete the zoning alignment plan with his priorities, including density and growth through mechanisms like accessory dwelling units and regulation on short-term rentals. Gruber received the fourth most votes in the Democratic primary to secure a spot on the ballot. Lashunda C. Leslie Smith, Democrat. Leslie Smith, a licensed clinical social worker, is the executive director of Connected Communities, an organization focused on improvement in the Emma and Beechwood neighborhoods. She's also founded Scent One Consulting, which aids nonprofit organizations with fundraising, governance, and community impact. If elected, her priorities include affordable housing, community-driven development, economic power empowerment, and community policing efforts. Leslie Smith told the DNC in June that poverty is policy-driven and that she wants to shift how resources are distributed, especially in historically disadvantaged communities. In the Democratic primary election, Leslie Smith totaled 5,856 votes, the third most of any candidate. Stanley Martin, Democrat and Working Families. Martin is among the three Democratic incumbents first elected to the City Council in 2021. She is the co-founder of Free the People Rochester, an organization focused on care-based community safety, and leads the Daniels Law Coalition, which aims to bring a non-police presence to mental health crises. Martin has served as a mental health counselor for incarcerated people. She holds a master's degree in community mental health counseling. She's endorsed by the People's State Slate, an organization that supports progressive candidates with focuses like reimagining public safety and expanding tenants' rights. Martin received the most votes of any candidate in the Democratic primary in June with 6,358. Miguel A. Melendez, Jr., Democrat. Melendez was appointed to his seat in 2020 and was elected unanimously by his colleagues as Rochester City Council President in 2022 after his first re-election bid. He's also the Chief Community Engagement Officer at the Ibero-American Action League. Priorities for Melendez include safer neighborhoods, quality housing, and equitable access to opportunities. His highlighted accomplishments include investment in housing units for Peace Village, Rock the Block employment fairs, and expanded the Public Safety Committee to include all members of the council. Melendez received the second highest vote total in the Democratic primary in June. Victor H. Sanchez, Working Families. Shortly after gaining his U.S. citizenship, Victor Sanchez ran for the Monroe County Legislature in 2019. Now he's running for Rochester City Council on a platform highlighting housing justice, equitable development, economic growth, and reimagining public safety. Sanchez works as the project manager in the Planning, Design, and Construction Department at the University of Rochester. He's also served on the board of numerous local organizations, including Reconnect Rochester and Genesee Land Trust. Attracting and retaining young talent is a priority for Sanchez, along with combating gentrification, emphasizing sustainability, and investing in small businesses. Sanchez received more than 4,110 votes in the Democratic primary in June. Kiara Kiki Smith, Democrat in Working Families. Smith, a community advocate and volunteer, previously ran for the City Council in the Northeast District in 2023. She is a program officer at the Greater Rochester Health Foundation. The planks in her platform include mental health access and support, barrier-free mental health services, affordable housing, and gun violence prevention. Smith wants to transform how the city responds to violence prevention instead of relying on a crisis response. The issues of violence prevention, housing, and mental health are interconnected, she told the DNC in June. Smith secured 5,336 votes in the Democratic primary, securing the final spot on party line. David Sutliff Attias, Green. Sutliff Attias previously ran for the City Council's East District seat in 2019. He's running again on a similar platform. His priorities include replacing Rochester Gas and Electric with a public utility, housing as a human right, and restoration of the Police Accountability Board. A teacher and advocate, Sutliff Attias has volunteered and participated with a number of local groups. His platform includes changing the city's compost program to curbside pickup, expanded library and recreation center hours, and fixing the Verona Street Animal Shelter. In the 2019 East District Council race, Sutliff Attias received 1,445 votes. Mary Lupien won with 8,517. Marcus C. Williams, Conservative. There are no Republicans on the ballot in the Rochester City Council at-large race this year, with three candidates, including Williams, running in 2021. Williams has plans that include offering low-cost broadband internet, offering free self-defense training for residents, and offering a 50% property tax break for first-time homebuyers. Williams wants to boost police hiring, encourage officers to live in the city, and advocate state lawmakers to amend bail reform and raise the age laws. During his last city council bid, Williams received 4,577 votes in the general election. And the Rochester mayoral race. What to know? Korea Weaver and Steve Howe. Election season is approaching and two candidates are seeking the position of mayor for the city of Rochester, incumbent Malik Evans and newcomer Louis Sabo. Evans is favored to win his second term as mayor due to party voting patterns in the past. He beat out challengers in the summer Democratic primary. If he wins, Evans will have a chance to continue pushing on his priorities centered on the business community, the economy, public safety, but also experiments like a small basic income pilot or efforts to help middle to lower income homebuyers. Voters can cast their vote on Election Day, which is set for Tuesday, November 4th, or can vote during the early voting period from October 25th through November 2nd. Malik Evans, Democratic. Evans has served as the mayor of Rochester since 2022. Some of his priorities include expanding housing access, promoting economic opportunity and public safety, and addressing the opioid crisis. While in office, Evans established the Office of Financial Empowerment to aid in the economic mobility of city residents and the Office of Violence Prevention to address crime issues. He has also overseen several initiatives such as the Inner Loop North Transformation and Rock the Riverway. Other positions Evans has held include being at-large Rochester City Council member from 2017 through 2021, Serving as commissioner of the Rochester Board of Education from 2003 to 2017 and board president from 2008 to 2013. Louis Sabo, conservative. Sabo is a longtime resident of Rochester seeking to bring change that will help families and businesses thrive. Some of his top priorities include combating violence, increasing job opportunities, housing affordability, and education. According to Sabo, qualities that will make Rochester a successful city are family, neighbors, faith, community, and business. Aside from running in the mayoral race, Sabo is a professional photographer and a small business owner. Inspiration. Monroe's longest serving sheriff, remarkable Rochesterians, Albert W. Skinner, 1893 to 1975, Laura Nichols, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Monroe County's longest serving sheriff came from a family whose ancestor bought 100 acres of land in Greece from Nathaniel Rochester. Albert Whitmore Skinner was born in the family homestead on Manitou Beach, which burned in a thunderstorm in September 1925. The family moved to a Hilton home that he retained until his death. After graduating from a one-room school, Skinner became a Greece town constable in the 1920s. He became a deputy U.S. Marshal in a 16-county area in 1925, the Brighton-Pittsford Post reported, October 30, 1975. When he began the first of his 12 terms as sheriff in 1938, the force consisted of 16 people. He created the Mounted Patrol, the Bomb Squad, Marine Patrols, a dedicated narcotics division, and the first training school for deputies in the state. The Greece Town Historian's Office and the Monroe County Sheriff's Office's websites say, by the time he left office in 1973, the force consisted of 139 deputies and more than 300 other employees, the Post wrote. Perhaps one of the most trying times for Sheriff Skinner came in September of 1971, when he and a detachment of more than 40 deputies went to Attica Correctional Facility during the famous uprising that resulted in the deaths of many inmates and prison personnel, the website for the Monroe County Sheriff's Office says. As Sheriff Skinner, who never married, worked long hours and lived in an apartment at the Monroe County Jail so he could be easily accessible, though he kept his house. His sister Anna was his housekeeper and supervised cooking at the jail. Skinner always insisted that good food was important to the management of a prison, the Post wrote. A dedicated lawman, he had little patience with crime suspects and was known as a stern, no-nonsense administrator, the Post said. Skinner insisted on neatness, making sure deputies' shoes were shined and floors were clean. The Rochester Times-Union wrote in October 28, 1975. Skinner was scrupulously honest, one deputy said in a TU story. He never made long-distance phone calls except on a payphone using his own money. Despite his reputation for toughness, Skinner had a soft side. Al Skinner looked at life as an opportunity to give, never to receive. Republican Frank Horton Penfield wrote in the Congressional Record in 1975, the old man was always giving money or food to anyone who walked into the office asking for it, a deputy said in the TU story. Deputies estimate Skinner gave away tens of thousands of dollars from his own salary in the 36 years he was sheriff. Besides his law enforcement work, Skinner was a significant force in local politics, affectionately known as Mr. Republican, the Greece Town Historian Office says. His career ended in an election defeat to William Lombard in 1973 after he decided to seek an additional term, even though he had told voters his current term would be his last. He died in 1975 at Genesee Hospital. Memories. The barn gave kids a place to grow up. Bob Marcotti, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. The Gannett Youth Club last night found its element just the way the young people had dreamed it. Months and months ago, there was their dance, their nightclub, The Barn. Democrat and Chronicle, May 17, 1947. For the next 14 years, The Barn was a favorite hangout for high school students. A place where no liquor was served, but young people could take their dates for Cokes, hamburgers, dancing, and entertainment. When I was a kid, the big thing was to grow up and become a young adult, to behave yourself, and make a good appearance. It was a different kind of world, explained Ed Ferland, who used to take girlfriends to the barn when it first opened, and later emceed the programs there. It gave kids a chance to grow up, to wear their good clothes, to go to a country club setting. It all happened inside a large Quonset hut, a gift of Frank Gannett and the two local newspapers he published, the Democrat and Chronicle and the Times Union. It was on land he donated at East Henrietta and Calkins Roads, the county fair site. We have been hearing much about delinquency among our youth, Gannett explained at a preview party. I am convinced that the drinking places in Rochester and in the suburbs do more to promote delinquency among young people than do any other conditions. Out of this investigation came my determination to do something about it. Launching some stars. Each weekend, one of more than two dozen area high schools would organize much of the entertainment, though couples could still attend. Singers, musicians, tap dancers, magicians, and comedians from the local schools would all be on stage. Some performers were extremely talented. Some even went on to national stardom. For example, on Franklin High School night in January 1954, a 15-year-old accordion player named Gap Mangione and his 12-year-old trumpet-playing brother Chuck were the headliners. Rochester vocalist Lucille Simonelli was another, Ferland recalls. She later appeared as Luann Sims with Arthur Godfrey's TV shows. Ferland remembers Tony Bennett and Andy Williams dropping by when they were in town. For several years, Eddie Meath would MC a live radio broadcast from the club. A cheap date. As Ferland recalls, the barn was never intended to turn a profit, just avoid running too far in the red. So it was definitely a bargain. I don't think you could have spent more than $3 on a Saturday night, Ferland said. Ferland remembers it as a tremendous place for young people to go when everything was young and beautiful and romantic. The town of Henrietta leased the building in the 1960s for youth and community activities, then closed it in 1965 because it needed repairs. Later, a barbershop quartet group rented it for rehearsals and other activities. It was destroyed by fire in 1971. A longer version of this story was published November 3, 2008. Community. Can I shoot my neighbor's annoying chickens? Caria Weaver and Michelle Grisales, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Owning a chicken can bring many benefits, such as a fresh supply of eggs, a natural pest control, and can even help you live a more sustainable life. If you're thinking of owning a chicken in Rochester, it may be easier than you think. Rochester is one of the most lenient when it comes to owning chickens. Surrounding areas allow them to. Check ordinances posted on town or county sites. But what if chickens from your neighbor are always coming onto your property and you think they are a nuisance? Talking with your neighbor usually helps, although if they roam free, it can be hard for anyone to get them to respect property lines. However, if your neighbor's chickens are ruining your lawn, you cannot shoot them legally in New York State. Doing so may result in criminal charges, fines, or lawsuits. The best course of action is to set boundaries, not traps, and call animal control before you call a lawyer. In New York, chickens are legally considered private property. Harming them can fall under animal cruelty statutes, even if they're on your land. According to New York Environmental Conservation Law, Section 11-2117, it is illegal to kill or injure another person's livestock or domestic fowl, including chickens, without the owner's permission, regardless of where the animals are at the time. Under New York State Penal Law, Section 353, intentionally harming an animal without justification can lead to misdemeanor animal cruelty charges. In more severe cases, if the act is considered especially cruel, you would be charged with a felony under Section 353A for aggravated cruelty. In addition, the animal's owner could sue you for damages. Here's what you should do instead. Start by speaking with your neighbor. Many people aren't aware their birds have wandered. If that proves ineffective, there are alternatives. Also, you could befriend the wandering hen. Chickens can become fairly friendly, or at least tolerant of you, over time with careful approaching. Or you can call your local animal control office to offer guidance and resolve the situation. In some towns, repeated animal trespass is enforceable through local codes. Rochester Animal Services can be reached at 585-428-7274. Rochester's rules. Here are some of the rules about owning chickens in Rochester. Residents who are looking to own chickens must first obtain a poulterer's license. According to the city code, each chicken should have at least 4 square feet of floor space when kept in a co-op, in a coop, and no more than 30 chickens can be kept in an open area of 240 square feet. All coops must be at least 25 feet away from any building used for continuous daily human occupation. Who We Are has rebranding at University of Rochester created an identity crisis. Remarkable Rochester, Jim Memmott, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. The news broke recently that the University of Rochester has done some rebranding. Not everyone is happy. As part of the refreshment process at Rochester, the university's logo, the one with the old-time feel, has been modernized. The three symbols, one for music, one for humanities, one for medicine, remain, though they look thinner. The word Meloria, the university's motto, Latin for ever better, survived on the logo, but it's moved up higher, like a headline. Gone is the date of the university's founding, 1850. In addition to changing its logo, the university has also re-nicknamed itself. U Rochester will replace U of R, or UR, as the school's quick reference. Perhaps not surprisingly, the changes at the university, where, full disclosure, I teach journalism, have led to grousing. I'd imagine this is what it feels like when your parents sell your childhood home to the government and they bulldoze it and put a highway over it, commented one especially upset Instagram user. Another declared that the new logo resembled a middle school graphic design project. Quite a few commenters wished the money spent on coming up with the logo would have been spent on students, on research, or adjunct journalism professors. Okay, I made that last one up. I don't mind the changes, though it will take a while for me to get used to referring to the university as U Rochester. Usually I just say the U of R, please don't tell the authorities. Regardless, I'm not surprised by the outrage. Colleges and universities like to fuss with their names and images, and when they do, people push back. In 2012, SUNY Geneseo changed its wordmark. I didn't know what a wordmark was, but it turned out it was the way the college wrote Geneseo on all of its stationery, signs, flags, and anywhere else. The new wordmark had different lettering, but most significantly, it didn't have a wave, a flowing line between the word Geneseo. This prompted a petition drive to save the wave. Hundreds, maybe thousands, signed on, but the college stuck to its guns and the wave did not flow back. 13 years later, the Waveless logo is alive, at least for now. SUNY Brockport was the college at Brockport for a while. Now it isn't. St. John Fisher and Nazareth once called themselves colleges. Now they're universities. This column has been rebranded from time to time, editors trying to come up with a label that might explain what it is that I do. My words were once classified as opinion. That word mark gave way to connections, which was then replaced by good news because editors wanted to be able to say that there was some good news in the paper. Then the column was rebaptized Remarkable Rochester. That has stuck in part because it links to my ever-growing list of remarkable Rochesterians. It's a good label, but not always geographically accurate. I sometimes wander away from Rochester, especially when I feel compelled to write another column on Geneseo's oft-hit Main Street fountain. There has been no outrage every time my column has been rebranded. It's almost as if no one has ever noticed. My advice to you, Rochester, is to stay the course. The furor will die down until the school rebrands itself once more. From his home in Geneseo, Livingston County, retired senior editor Jim Memmott writes Remarkable Rochester about who we were and who we are. He can be reached at jmemmott@gannett.com or write box 274, Geneseo, New York, 14454. Let's add the name of this pioneering business leader to the list of remarkable Rochesterians. Kitty Van Bortel, born 1954. Starting with very little money but a ton of determination, she became a force in Rochester area automobile sales, a business dominated by men. After first working for others as an auto salesperson, she went out on her own selling used cars from her front yard. A graduate of Palmyra Macedon High School and of Wells College, she opened the Van Bortel Subaru dealership in 1991 in Victor, Ontario County, and later became co-owner with her brother of Van Bortel Ford and Van Bortel Chevrolet. The recipient of a multitude of industry honors and active in several philanthropic groups, she was selected in 2016 as Time Magazine's Car Dealer of the Year. Obituaries. I'm not able to read the whole listing for each individual, just their name, age, and city or town. For more information, call 716-821-5555. Ronald Angerhofer, 84 Penfield. Jeanette Jean Avalon, Rochester. Betty Monk Klon Hennick Clark, 84 Rochester. Robert A. Clement Jr., Fairport. Thelma D. Dintz, 98 Webster. Amelia Millie Eldridge, Pittsford. Tracy Fodzie, 80 Brighton. Andrew J. Ford, 44 Chilai. Frederick Hardaway, 65 Rochester. Kimberly M. Harris, 67 Penfield. Mildred Millie Yorks Hayton, 89. Francis R. Hegarty, 78 East Rochester. Sylvia Hyman, 89 Rochester. Catherine A. Heiler, 79 Rochester. Maureen Dunham Holtzman, 95 Pittsford. Terry Keister, 70 Rochester. Timothy James Klipfel, 75 Asheboro, North Carolina. William Bill Edward Kramer, 83 Cape Coral, Florida. Helen Legacy, Rochester. Carol E. Latta, 79 Hilton. Philip E. Phil Lewis, 93 Pittsford. Josephine A. Ludwig, 79 Rochester. Mary Helen Mead, 96 Rochester. James C. Mistretta, 78 Rochester. Frederick C. Murphy, 96, Penfield. Caroline Napoli, East Rochester. William Nyhoff, 72, Penfield. Stephen Dean Perry, 96, Penfield. William Elliott Rayner, 35, Parenton. Bruce W. Raybach, 71, Irondequoit. Mildred Jordan Reynolds, 95, Rochester. Dennis Rivaldo, Rochester. Alberta M. Sharp Knee Roering, 94, Rochester. Margaret Ann Peggy Sorrell Smalt, 81, Rochester. John Jack Spizik, 86, Webster. Ruth Schaefer Stork, 86, Henrietta. Erna Strecker, 92, Greece. Carol Ann Staffieri Tolley, 86. Ronald G. Vogler, 87, Greece. Carol A. Welk, 88, Webster. Paul Weishar, 75, Rochester. Patricia J. Wilson, 89, Rochester. Jean M. Zachariah, 90, Chilai. Michael P. Zavadil. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from the October 19th Democrat and Chronicle. Your reader has been Amy. Thank you for listening.